Those of you that have purchased this workbook, I'd like for you to turn to the second chapter in the workbook and to page 27 in the workbook, and you'll be seeing those diagrams up on the screen. What I'd like to summarize in the next 15 minutes, and I'll try and keep it brief because I know we're about out of time, is whenever a person's emotionally damaged, they become bitter inside. And 90% of the Christians coming into my office are holding bitterness toward people that have damaged them. They're struggling because of the pain that they have inside. Interesting, the Bible says the heart knows its own bitterness. Every person that has experienced pain inside often holds that pain inside, leading to bitterness and resentment toward people that have hurt them. Bitterness involves our memories of how other people have hurt us. It involves our attitudes toward others who have damaged us and our feelings of pain inside. And often people say, I don't know what to do with this pain inside. I'm just angry. I'm just bitter. I'm just hurt. And they don't know how to release that out of their heart. And in this session, I'd like to share some of the things that a person can do to actually forgive, to actually resolve those issues inside. There are two biblical consequences to bitterness. If a person holds bitterness inside, that bitterness is going to lead to greater problems. For example, in Ephesians 4:31, the King James Version says, bitterness will lead to wrath, wrath will lead to anger, anger will lead to clamor, clamor will lead to evil speaking will lead to malice. Those are actually the translated words there. If you define those words with a Greek original word in each of those, bitterness leads to sudden outbursts of anger. That's the definition of the word there. Thirdly, that leads to the word anger, settled continuous anger. That leads to clamor, where you are constantly fighting every time that subject is brought up. That leads to evil speaking, where when you're talking about the person who's damaged you, you attack them with your words. And finally, that leads to continuous inner hatred of the heart, where a person can't resolve or can't release that pain inside. The second consequence of bitterness is bitterness will defile other believers. In Hebrews 12:15, it says, a root of bitterness, if allowed to grow, will negatively affect the majority of people around you. And as a result of that, other people are going to be bitter based on your own pain of bitterness. What are the evidences of bitterness in a person's heart? Well, a person who's bitter obviously is going to be critical of others. They're going to be insensitive to others. They've pulled their heart away from others, so they're not going to be sensitive or caring. They usually are ungrateful people who don't appreciate what others have done for them. They like to get even, and often they seek ways to get even with others. They don't trust people because they're always scared someone's going to hurt them. They often are depressed and often hold anger inside their heart. Those are the things that you see inside of a person's heart. Now, when a person is angry, often the cause of anger is bitterness, and bitterness often leads to anger. When you resolve anger, there's two ways to resolve anger. One is to blow up, where you damage relationship and you attack others with your anger. You get guilt, feeling guilty there, and you destroy relationships. The other way is to clam up and hold your anger and bitterness in, causing you to feel rejected and get depressed. Now, both of those methods are not good methods. The key is to forgive. Forgive means that you release the person that damaged you. Say, I'm not going to hold this against you anymore. Yes, you hurt me, but I'm not going to hold this against you. You're free to go. I'm not going to focus on the negative thing you caused me. And secondly, I'm going to take responsibility for the emotional pain your sin or damage caused me. with a result that a person gets free from anger, gets free from bitterness in one's heart. So there's a resolution to bitterness and anger. But the core issue is, what's causing that bitterness? Where is it coming from? Now, bitterness always has a cause. And people that are bitter because something went wrong in their relationships with others. Other people damaged them, and emotionally, they can't disconnect the pain that that problem caused them. The key is always look at the heart of a person and ask yourself the question, what happened to that person? Why were they damaged? How were they damaged? How did that affect them? And help them understand that. Now, in order to understand forgiveness, which is the opposite of bitterness, we have to understand three biblical concepts. Number one, forgiveness is costly. When God forgave us, he had to send his son to pay the penalty for our sin. It cost Jesus his life to deal with our sin and to forgive us. Secondly, forgiveness is one person assuming responsibility for another person's failure. Let me explain. There's two kinds of sin people commit. One sin you can't pay for, the other sin you can pay for. If I stole $1,000 from your pastor, I can pay it back. I can give him $1,100 and say that's the interest for stealing your money. And he might say, well, why don't you steal some more money? I like the interest you gave me on the money. Okay, I can pay back if I steal. But if I commit adultery, Proverbs says there's no way I can pay that back. I've often, when I deal with adultery in a couple's life, have offered $1 million if they just forget the pain. And every time I do that, a wife or a husband gets angry with me and says, you don't understand. You can't pay back the pain I'm feeling. It hurts too much. If as a father you damage the heart of your son, it doesn't do you any good to say, why don't I give you $100,000 and just forget what I did to you? That makes your son angry with you. You cannot pay if you've emotionally damaged a son. There's no amount of money that you can pay. The only solution is for the person who is damaged to pay the emotional pain and consequences that your sin caused them. But you say, that's unfair. That's exactly what Jesus did. You see, Jesus was in heaven for 6,000 years before he went to the cross. And during those 6,000 years, from Adam to the time he came to this earth, he watched people rebel against him. The Israelites, the whole Testament story, is a story of people turning their backs on God. And so God had the experience of that pain for 6,000 years. Then he chose to send his son to actually pay the penalty for people's sin. Now he actually paid twice. Because of 6,000 years, he saw the rebelliousness of people. And then he chose to pay the penalty so those individuals who by faith sacrificed would and desired a relationship with him could have a relationship with him. Do you realize the same thing happens for a person who's involved in forgiving a husband for committing adultery? I've had 200 opportunities to sit in my office, and they're not easy, with husbands or wives who've committed adultery. And a wife is sitting in my office, her husband has cheated on her for a period of 3 years with her best friend. And she's sitting there, and we're asking the question, how do we resolve this? Now, the Bible says in Proverbs that the husband who commits adultery can't pay for his sin. So we're in a dilemma. He can't pay for what he's done to damage her. She has experienced 3 years of pain because he hasn't been there emotionally for her. She doesn't know that he's been with her best friend sexually. And emotionally, she's hurting because of the pain. And I ask her a question, would you like to resolve? There's only one solution to this problem. Number one, you've experienced 3 years where your husband pulled away. and violated your marriage covenant by committing adultery. And you've experienced that pain just like Jesus for 6,000 years was in heaven observing man's sin. But he chose to forgive and go to the cross and pay the penalty for our sins. I'm asking you as a wife, would you be willing as a substitute to pay the emotional consequences of your husband's sin caused against you? Initially, a wife will say, no, I don't want to pay. And I say, there's no solution to this problem unless you're willing to pay. 200 times I've sat in my office and I've showed them this particular chart. At the top of the chart, God has to make a decision. God could have required justice and made all of us pay for our sin. The problem was we couldn't pay for one sin, let alone all of them. And if God would have required justice, we would have been separated from God eternally, and none of us would ever experience heaven. But that's not what happened. God chose to move from justice to forgiveness. He chose to take the penalty of our sin and pay for it. You say that's not fair. Jesus went to the cross and he didn't deserve anybody's sin. He was sinless. But he took our place on the cross. At the bottom of the chart, you'll notice a man and on the other side his wife. Let's say a wife has hurt her husband deeply. Let's say she made a financial decision and he lost $200,000. And he's angry because he's lost everything, lost his financial credibility. He has an opportunity to require justice. You have to pay for everything, but his wife has no money. And even if she got a job, she could never pay back the $200,000 mistake she made by signing her name on a piece of paper. He has a choice to require justice, which means he becomes an angry, bitter person the rest of his life toward his wife and probably toward women. But I encourage him, would you choose to forgive? Which means you pay the emotional pain and consequences your wife has caused you. Often he'll say, but I don't deserve to pay. She ought to pay. I say, I know, but she can't pay. Are you willing to pay the emotional pain and consequences? I learned this concept personally because at age 13 I invited Christ into my life, and at 15 an emotional pain happened with my father, and I held bitterness toward him for 20 years and carried depression for 20 years. And I was preparing a message as a pastor. And in the message, I was defining how Jesus forgives us and how we're to forgive others. And I remember working on the message, and on this side, Jesus chose to pay the penalty for our sins. On this side, what am I supposed to do? And all of a sudden realized that I held against my father the pain that he caused me for 20 years. And I made a decision at the age of 35 to release my father from the damage he caused me, and I chose from that moment, age 35, I'm 65 this year, until the day I die, I'm going to be responsible for the damage my father caused me. You know what happened? My bitterness left, my anger left, my depression left when I released my father. That's why it's important when you're thinking of forgiveness. Forgiveness is substitutional. Isn't it neat to watch a little girl run in front of a congregation? You know, mothers are embarrassed, but don't feel embarrassed. You know what Jesus did in front of a crowd of 3,000 people? He stopped his sermon and picked up a little child. Isn't that neat? A little child like that is more important than anything I'm saying up here. Did you know that? Because valuing a child is more important than any sermon anyone's ever going to speak. So I'm glad that little girl ran in front of us here tonight. The mother was probably embarrassed. I used to be embarrassed when my kids did that. But I'm glad kids do that. They're free to do that. So forgiveness is costly. Forgiveness is one person being willing to pay the emotional pain that another person deserved to pay. Thirdly, forgiveness is substitutional. There are four keys to forgiveness. And if you forget everything else, please don't forget these four steps. The first step in forgiving another person is to release the person who has hurt you. The second is to pay the emotional pain that person's sin caused you. The third is to release the pain within. In other words, you don't want to hold a pain inside, you want to release it. Jesus, I was damaged by my father's anger, high expectations of me that I could never meet. Jesus, what did that do to my heart? Can you heal my heart from that? And each person needs to take their pain to Jesus to get peace to the pain inside. If you don't pray to release that, what happens is you continue to hold that pain inside. So forgiveness is not only being willing to release the person and pay the emotional pain, but thirdly, allow Jesus to heal that area of your heart, and then to release the pain within your own heart. There's charts on page 29 that I would like to identify and encourage you to use. This particular chart lists family members, your dad, your mom, siblings, if you have a step-parent. And in the second column, you list each way they hurt you. Let's say you say, my mother was critical and angry. Let's say my father was a perfectionist and never accepted anyone unless they did exactly what he said. My siblings kept criticizing me and never accepted me in the family. And you list that. In the last column, you put 4 to 6 words of emotional pain coming off of the sheet that we just passed out before the break. Then on the next page, you have a list of other people who have damaged you, like friends, teachers, employers, believers, who have damaged you. Again, the person's issues and the emotional pain. The third sheet that I'd like for you to notice is how your spouse has damaged you. And again, in the first column, you're going to put the issues of your husband's or wife's damage to you, and then 4 to 6 words. At the bottom of each page is a prayer. Lord, I choose to forgive my mother for being critical of me, causing me to feel rejected, unloved, unwanted, and I'm willing to pay the emotional pain and consequences my mother has caused me. And then you finish the prayer. The purpose of this book, the reason I put it together 12 years ago, was I found that Christians didn't understand how to resolve their issues. And in a very simple prayer, you can actually release that pain and experience freedom. I've had couples that came to the end of this evening, like tonight, took the time together to list their pain and pray through it together. And at midnight, they were on a honeymoon, and it changed their whole marriage. Because they had held things against their parents, against others, that emotionally locked their heart, built walls in relationship, and didn't allow them to connect. Bitterness is one of 7 problems, or 7 spiritual problems, that lock a person's heart so they can't respond. We'll be defining other problems as we go through the week. But I would challenge you tonight in 2 areas. The first area is, have you been emotionally damaged where your heart is closed in and you've built a wall? Have you become bitter toward experiences, circumstances? Some people are bitter at God because they've prayed and God didn't answer their prayer. Have you been bitter toward your spouse, your parents, someone else? Could I invite you tonight just to take the emotional issues in your life and the bitterness in your life and take them to Jesus and ask Him to cleanse those areas of your heart out? Every problem that any believer has is resolvable with Jesus. And Jesus is waiting for us to come to Him with our bitterness, with our emotional pain, and He wants to bring healing to your heart. May I encourage you to do that. The reason I bring a team with me, I used to come to these seminars by myself with my wife, and so many people would come asking for help that I couldn't keep up. That's why I have Mike and Ellen and Gary and Marilyn. And Cindy, these individuals have come because they care about you. And if you're struggling with someone and you need someone to pray, I'm sure the pastor, his wife, the assistant, there are others that would be glad to pray with you. But if you're struggling with some of these issues and you say, John, would you help me? I'm struggling. We would like to care for you. I attended church ever since I was a little boy. 3 times a week, I've gone to church every Sunday. In all those years, not one person ever stopped and says, John, can I care about the emotional issues inside your heart, what you're struggling with? I carried a 20-year depression. Nobody ever understood me. And 16 years ago, I decided to leave the pastoral ministry because I wanted to start caring about people who were struggling with issues in their heart and no one took the time to care about them. So in the last 16 years, I haven't prepared sermons like I used to for 23 years as a pastor. All I've done was sat in my office and prayed with people to resolve their pain inside. And I'm going to say it's been the neatest 16 years to watch Jesus to heal hearts, to watch Jesus bring people together, to watch Jesus heal a person's bitter heart that's been damaged. And that's why we came to San Antonio, to encourage you if you're struggling with something. We want to help you with that issue and help you resolve that issue. Let's pray together. Father, you know each heart here.